Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My husband, Andy, is a runner, and not just like going out for a quick jog kind of runner, but a running really long distances at really ridiculous paces kind of runner. When we first started dating, I went running with him, which I think shows how committed I was to being his girlfriend. I voluntarily got up early on Saturday mornings to run in the cold and the snow, something I no longer do now that I am his wife. After I had been running for a couple of months, Andy's dad convinced me to sign up for a half marathon that some of the family members were running. It went from Georgetown to Idaho Springs, and my future father-in-law assured me that it was all downhill. If it had in fact been all downhill, I probably wouldn't be using it as a sermon illustration. The race was at altitude, and I was exhausted, but I kept clinging to the promise that this race would be all downhill. My nice plans and expectations were shattered, however, when I rounded the bend, and lo and behold, there was a huge hill. I wasn't mentally prepared. I was exhausted. I wasn't sure I could do it. But with much cajoling and apologizing, Andy got me to run to the top of that hill, even though it wasn't what I expected or wanted. Just like my run-in with the hill was not a reality I had mentally prepared for, in our gospel reading for the day, Joseph is faced with a new reality that isn't what he had planned or had hoped for. Mary, the woman he is engaged to, has become pregnant, and it's not his child. And in the first century Israel, this would have been a hugely embarrassing and shameful thing. And Joseph actually has the legal right to demand that Mary be stoned. But Matthew tells us that Joseph is a righteous man, and so he plans to divorce Mary quietly, to try to mitigate the shame and pain that is already enveloping this whole fiasco that was supposed to be Joseph's quiet married life. And for a man in Joseph's position, this is a perfectly reasonable and even compassionate response. But God isn't going to let Joseph off the hook quite so easily. Joseph has a dream, and God tells Joseph that the child is going to be the Messiah, and that Joseph should marry Mary anyway and raise the child like his own. Now, a dream from God is a pretty powerful motivator, and Joseph does what the angel tells him to do. However, the dream doesn't really change the future that Joseph is contemplating. In the first century, people could count to 9, and they could figure out that Mary is having this baby a little too early. And Joseph will have to continue to endure the shame and mockery that will come from raising someone else's baby in the first century. I can't read Joseph's mind, but it isn't difficult to imagine that Joseph is less than thrilled with the future that God has placed before him. Instead of a quiet life with his wife Mary, working as a carpenter and raising their children, God has asked him instead to walk into a future where all that is promised seems to be shame and hardship. This is not the future that Joseph wanted, but it is the future that God is inviting Joseph into. And many of us in life have experienced similar switches and dramas. And I believe that the truth of this story speaks not only to Joseph, but to our communities and churches today. Just in my few weeks here, I've heard many of you lament that there aren't very many children in the Sunday school classrooms. And 20 years ago, they were packed. Not just at Holy Shepherd, not just in Denver, but across the United States, millennials and younger generations have left the church in droves. Many churches have closed their doors or had to dramatically reduce their staff or services because they just don't have the people to keep it going. For some of us, having grown up in the church, and served the church for years, we find ourselves looking around at a future that we would not have chosen, that we do not want, and one that we barely recognize. Like Joseph, we are left squarely in the middle of an uncertain future, and we wish that God would change it, not invite us deeper into it. But in the midst of Joseph's discomfort, God reminds Joseph of two things. First, the angel tells Joseph, "Do not be afraid." I think God needs to constantly remind God's people to not be afraid, because God is constantly doing new and unexpected things. We're still not used to how topsy-turvy things can get with God. And so God's messengers are constantly reminding us, don't be afraid. Don't freak out. This new thing that you are experiencing might actually be from God. The other reminder that the angel gives to Joseph is the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. In the midst of Joseph's uncertainty about his family life and our uncertainty about our own futures, God promises to be present with us. In the midst of uncertain futures that we don't really like and probably wouldn't have chosen, God says, "I am already there." In the midst of unfamiliarity and discomfort, God promises to remain constant. Our families, our churches, and our world may look vastly different than anything we could have ever imagined, but God remains the same, loving, guiding, offering grace, and breathing new life. I think Joseph models for us exactly how we are to enter into these new and overwhelming futures. First, Joseph is willing to take risks. Yes, the future is not what he wanted or had hoped for, but when he recognizes God's call, he's willing to step into it. Even knowing that there will be consequences, even knowing that not everything will go how he wants or had planned. My friend is a pastor up in Montana, and she is a lot like Joseph. She is also at a church with a story that feels familiar to many churches across the United States. Declining membership, older congregations, and in her case, no children or young families. But the church started a group for moms with preschool-aged children. The moms gathered together to talk, and the kids spent time in the Sunday school room learning a Bible story and working on a craft. At first, some in the church were disappointed because the children were not showing up on Sundays. It was not the future they had imagined or planned or hoped for, but every Tuesday, there are children in the Sunday school rooms learning about Jesus. They took a risk. They stepped into a different kind of future, and now a handful of kids are learning about Jesus in their church building every Tuesday morning. But Joseph didn't just take a risk. He also made a decision to love. Joseph is not so begrudging or so reluctant to enter into this new future that he makes Mary feel bad about what is going on. He chooses to love her and to care for the child Joseph on the road to Bethlehem, when there's no room in the inn, and even during the flight to Egypt. When facing shame, danger, and uncertainty, Joseph chooses love. While I was on internship, I got to know a United Methodist pastor who was working in Denver with a group called After Hours. They meet in a different bar every Monday night. They drink beer, they talk, and they prepare peanut butter sandwiches for the homeless, which they serve at City Center Park during the rest of the week. This is not the most common expression of church. It's probably not what we think of when we think of church. But this group has stepped into an uncertain future and chosen love for some of the most vulnerable in their community. And those are just a few stories of churches taking risks and choosing love in the face of an uncertain future that isn't really what anyone had imagined 30 years ago when the Sunday school rooms were packed and new members flocked to church doors. But these communities, and countless others like them, have chosen to risk and to love, even in the midst of their discomfort and grief. Of course, how a church or faith community lives into this new reality will look different based on the community and the church themselves. What works really well in one place may not work at all in another. There aren't silver bullets or 100% guaranteed church growth plans, but God invites us into these uncertain futures anyway. Taking risks, choosing love, good and important first steps that we can try and take as we face forward. But sisters and brothers, the most important thing we can do is remember Emmanuel, God with us. God is not surprised by the changing face of the church in the 21st century. God is not shocked that young people have left the organized church and are exploring their spirituality in different ways. Like Joseph, God is calling to God's church, don't be afraid. This is new and different, but don't be afraid. God promises to be with us on this journey no matter what it may hold. And to Joseph and to us, what may initially feel like grief and loss of dreams and hopes might just be a part of God's plan to breathe new life into the world. But even if it isn't, even if we never get to see the results, God still promises to be with us. After all, Joseph kind of drops out of the picture after the stories of Jesus' birth. We don't hear any more about him during Jesus' public ministry, the crucifixion, the resurrection, or the early church. Joseph doesn't get to see everything that God will do and bring about through the birth of Jesus, but he walks faithfully into that uncertain future anyway. That is trusting God in a pretty major way. To walk into something new and scary without the guarantee that we will get to see the fulfillment of what God might be doing or creating. I don't know what the future holds or what this may look like specifically for Holy Shepherd or Lakewood or Denver. God doesn't always offer us roadmaps, playbooks, or church life for dummies. God called Joseph into a new reality, and God is calling us to enter into the uncertainties of a new path and a new way, even when they are uncomfortable, even when we long for the old ways. If we are willing to trust God's presence with us, to risk what we already know for the sake of God's kingdom, and to love one another and our neighbor fiercely, who knows what kind of future God might be inviting us into? But I am excited to find out. Amen.